May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 162. May we be helped to sing with a longing desire to know the beauties of the Lamb. When on my beloved I gaze, so dazzling his beauties appear, his charm so transcendently blaze, the sight is too melting to bear. When from my own vileness I turn to Jesus exposed on the tree, with shame and with wonder I burn to think what he suffered for me. Hymn 162.
May it please God to bless the reading of his holy words to the profit of our souls. Let us turn to the book of Daniel and read chapter 3. The book of Daniel and reading chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live for ever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshippeth, that he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counsellors, Did not we cast three men, bound, into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counsellors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Please God to instruct us from his holy word and help us now to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Great and eternal and most high Lord God, we would desire to come tonight and to bow down before that almighty God and come in prayer, seeking that thou would look upon us as we've come together tonight to worship. Lord, we're thankful if there is found in our heart that desire to come and worship the Lord. Gracious God, we pray therefore that we may be numbered amongst those who are categorized as the true worshippers, who worship God in spirit and in truth. Lord, we brought our bodies into this building tonight. But we pray, gracious God, that it may be our hearts that are moved by thy Holy Spirit to worship in a right way. And we pray earnestly, Lord God, thou be gracious to us tonight. Come, Lord, we pray, reveal thyself unto us as thou dost not unto the world. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thy Spirit therefore may come and instruct us and direct us in all things. Lord, we're thankful to believe we come to that great God. That great God that gloriously delivered Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. That God who is still the same today. And so we pray today that as those men were blessed with confidence in their God, so Lord, we pray that we today may have confidence in our God. Lord, we know through the scriptures there are so many wonderful accounts of those who trusted in the Lord. And we pray today we may hear that gracious exhortation to trust in the Lord at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before me. Lord, we pray for that gracious, blessed access at thy throne of grace. We pray that we may, together now and in our private times, be able to come and to pour out our heart unto our God. Lord, often we come and, Lord, have to regret our lack of prayer. But, Lord, we come tonight seeking thou wilt remember us for good with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit our souls with thy salvation. And we pray, Lord, as we come together tonight, we may have the evidence from thy Holy Spirit that we are among thy people and that we are travelling on that road that leads us to glory at last. And Lord, do grant that as we're found on this earth, and it may be clear that here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Gracious God, we pray that every one of us here tonight may fall in line with that great truth. And Lord, may we all be found seeking that heavenly city. Lord God Almighty, in and of ourselves we are unable to seek for these things. For Lord, we find the flesh by nature weak, but we pray, gracious God, that we may know the help and support of thy Spirit, so that we're able to come with the Apostle Paul and to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Lord, may we know the blessed, blessed strengthening in our souls by the Saviour. And Lord, grant we may ever have our eyes up to him. Lord, that we may recognize what great work he did on Calvary's Hill in order to redeem our souls. Lord, we confess we little appreciate the great cost of our salvation. We little appreciate what the Saviour endured so that we might be delivered from the wrath to come. But we pray, Lord God, that would come into our hearts, take away the stony heart, give us, Lord, that heart of flesh. Deliver us, O Lord, from a worldly state, a worldly condition. Deliver us, O Lord, from being over-concerned about the vanities of life. May we have a right understanding of those words that Solomon spoke. All is vanity of vanity and vexation of spirit. And may we know in our souls the peace of God. Lord, that great peace which was made through the cross of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that every one of us may know what it is to be touched with that glorious peace, which is outside of nature. Lord, come, we pray tonight. Thou knowest the path of us each, Lord. Thou knowest our concerns. Thou knowest the lack of concern, whatever it may be. But gracious God, do come, we pray. Make one with us. Come and do us good, whatever that may require in our little lives. Lord, lift us up. Deliver us, O Lord, from being at ease. Let us not be settled down, Lord, in the poor things of time. Let us not, Lord, give our best time to the things of time. But Lord, help us to give our best time to the things of God. Oh Lord, grant every one of us may realize how short our life is. The day approaches for every one of us when we must stand before thy judgment seat. Lord, grant we each may be rightly prepared for that great day. We would think, Lord, of the lines of the hymn writer when he said, "Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face." Oh Lord, how we realize it is but only the work of thy Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, grant us that humble spirit to come before thee and to pray that thou wilt rightly prepare us for that great day. May it be our constant concern that we are right and ready for eternity. But often we find the evil one, the enemy of our souls, distracts us from the things of God, turns our attention to vain things. Lord God, we pray for thy blessing. We acknowledge thy goodness in giving to us the word of God, the holy scriptures, the great truths it contains. And Lord, we're thankful tonight to have read that account of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Lord, for the strength and faith given to them, the trust they had in their God, the confidence they had in their God. And so, Lord, as we read such examples, Lord, may we be able to pray that we may be blessed with like precious faith to stand firm for the great truths of the gospel. And Lord, whatever the cost, Lord, we know that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We pray that every one of us may know the truth of those words so that we may go in the strength of the Lord God and make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O Lord, do come. And Lord, have all the honour and glory. Lord, may our great concern be to glorify our God. Help us to realise the tremendous cost of our salvation. Lord, we owe such a debt. Lord, we shall never be able to repay. But yet, Lord, we pray we may remember thy gracious words, thy encouraging words to us today, that we may by thy grace live to them, to take up our cross daily and to follow thee. O Lord, we know we will not do these things unless we have a constant view of what thou hast done to redeem our souls. And so, Lord, we think of that line of the hymn, while walking in the gospel way, we would see Jesus every day. Oh, Lord, may that desire be our prayer. And, Lord, may it be answered. And may we be a lively, a spiritual people in the things of God. That our hearts and our affections are on things above and not on things of the earth. Lord God, do remember us each for good then tonight. Young and old, we're thankful, Lord, for the children and young people that meet with us, and we commend them into thy kind care and keeping. And Lord, as they study at home, or if they go to school, and then they go to university or college, or then they start out in the working world, Lord, may they know the great and blessed truth of those words, kept by the power of God, through grace unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And Lord, help them each to commit all their way unto the Lord and to trust thee at all times. And Lord, may they be encouraged to pray. Lord, may they have answers to their prayers. Lord, may they see the blessedness of faith in the Saviour. And so, Lord, we commend them to thee. We pray, Lord, for the Sunday school here. We pray for each one that attends. We pray, Lord, for the teachers, that thou would give them much grace and much wisdom and much understanding. And as they labour week by week, we pray that they may prove in all labour there is profit. Lord, bless then this work, we earnestly pray. And we pray, Lord, for everyone that gathers here week by week. We pray for the church of God here. We pray they may dwell together in love and unity. We pray they may pray for each other's spiritual welfare, and that all of them may be blessed with that growth in grace. And we pray for the congregation. We pray for each one. And we earnestly pray that each one may, in due time, may be able to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. And thus, Lord, may they be able to follow thee in the believer's ordinance of believer's baptism, and then also to partake of the Lord's Supper. Oh, gracious God, we pray, there may therefore be a wonderful ingathering of precious souls. Lord, may they only be concerned to do the will of God. Lord, whatever the cost, we've read together of those three men who only desired to obey their God. We pray, Lord, in all of our lives. All of our lives, Lord, every detail of it, our concern may be to obey our God. Lord, we're conscious in thy word there are so many who disobey the Lord and the terrible consequences of those actions. Lord, we pray, therefore, for more grace. And Lord, we know thou dost give more grace. Help us then to come, each one here, and to commit their way unto the Lord. O Lord, do work, we pray. We come to a God, a great God. Touch hearts, Lord. Move their spirits. Lord, get great honour to thy holy name, we earnestly pray. Again, Lord, we come praying for the afflicted, the persecuted church. Remember them, Lord. Those who perhaps are afflicted amongst us here, those who are not able to gather because of illness and sickness and weakness, we pray for them. Others who may be detained lawfully in work that they have to do, be with and bless them. Lord, thou knowest the reason for everyone's absence. And Lord, we pray there may not be any who are just making an excuse, so they may not come. We pray, Lord, for thy Holy Spirit to go to such. O Lord, then remember those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Lord, help us to pray for them. Help us to support them. And Lord, help us to realise the amazing comforts that we enjoy, the amazing freedom and privileges that we have. And Lord, help us to realise that they may not always outlast. And grant that we may make the most of them while they exist, and pray they may continue. And pray, Lord, we may yet know better days in our nation. There may be a turning of the tide of sin and iniquity. Lord, how far it's gone. How terrible it is. Lord, though we who were the nation of the book, Lord, now have turned from it, have cast it aside, absolutely and completely. But Lord God, still remember our nation. Lord, we can only plead for mercy. Lord God omnipotent, look upon us. Remember us for good. Bless us, we pray. So, Lord, we come tonight. Lord, meet with us, we pray. Oh, do us good. Lord, hear us then. Forgive all our sins. We come and plead these blessings through the merits of our great and glorious Saviour, our wonderful High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 121. Jesus, in thee our eyes behold a thousand glories more than the rich gems and polished gold the sons of Aaron wore. Hymn 121.
Thank you.
May it please God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. May he help us to speak upon the answer that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego gave to Nebuchadnezzar when they would not bow down to the graven image. So chapter 3 in the book of Daniel, and reading verses 16, 17 and 18. Daniel chapter 3 verses 16, 17 and 18. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We have here in this account wonderful faith and trust that these three men had, faced with almost certain death in a very painful way. But how wonderful it is to be able to read the response they gave to the king when he clearly told them what would occur if they did not bow down to the golden image that he had set up. And they answer in a very beautiful way. And it really is a testimony to the goodness and strength and power of Almighty God. And it's a clear evidence that the Lord comes and he gives more grace. These men were wonderfully blessed on this occasion. Now, let us always remember that we have a God who does not change. You and I live today, several thousand of years after this account, but we still have the same God. And you and I may be faced with similar situations, perhaps not in the same way, but nonetheless, testing situations. The church of God, the people of God, are tested. That hasn't changed. The word of God tells us, through much tribulation, we shall enter the kingdom. Perhaps we don't like to think of it, and we think somehow there's some way around it. And somehow, in actual fact, we won't be amongst those who are called to walk that way. Well, that's what the word of God says. Don't turn away from it. Accept it as the great and glorious truth of God. And yet, you see, remember that in the depth of difficulties and trials, the Lord is with his people. He does not leave them. And here we have a great and wonderful example in this chapter. You see, these three men, they had to go into the furnace. Sometimes we may think, well, the Lord will deliver me and I won't have a problem. They had to go into the furnace. And you and I may have to go into the furnace. Whatever that means in your life and my life. But God was with them. And be sure of this, God is with his people today. And as the Apostle Paul tells us very gloriously, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are the called according to his purpose. And therefore what appears to be difficulties and hardships and opposition, just remember such a word as that. Just remember that our life on this earth is never going to be an easy life if we're the children of God. If your life has no problems, if your life is smooth and easy, question your religion. Because the religion that God gives is costly. the Christian religion is costing. But God is with his people, and it has a good end. And so the Word of God tells us, trust in the Lord at all times. At all times. Whatever the situation, it's all right to trust, isn't it, when things are going smoothly and everything's working out well, and both in providence and, you know, we're happy with our religion. It may not be right, but we're happy with it and we press on with it. Everything seems nice and rosy. But when the Lord comes and tests the reality of our religion, and God does test the reality of our religion, blessed be God, it is so. We don't want to arrive at the end of our life at the gate of heaven and find, like in the Pilgrim's Progress, ignorance didn't have the necessary document to enter into heaven. He fumbled in his bosom, couldn't find it. My friends, be not deceived. God is not mocked. The religion of God's people is outlined very clearly in the Word of God. If you want to know what kind of path you're going to walk, read the Word of God. Read the lives of the patriarchs. You've only got to read, haven't you, what they had to face and endure. You think of Joseph. He had those two dreams, and perhaps he thought, well, this is wonderful. God's revealed himself to me in this way, and he's told me what's going to happen, and everybody's going to bow down to me. He didn't realize there was going to be 13 years. Most of that time he was going to be in prison. And in that time, as we read in the book of Psalms, the word of the Lord tried him. What that was, it was the promise of God that tried him. But in the end, it was fulfilled. God gloriously delivered Joseph, brought him out of prison. God's time had come. You may be in prison. You may be waiting for God to appear. You may be tried. You may be resting on a promise, and it seems to have disappeared. You wonder how it's going to be performed. God has his way. And God's way produces honor and glory to his name. Joseph couldn't claim any glory, could he? The butler who he'd asked to remember him forgot all about him. Don't rely on man. Don't rely on women. Don't rely on anybody. Rely on God. God is able to do far more and exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. And here is a wonderful illustration of that truth in this account here with these three men. And they said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. And that needs to be noticed, because sometimes we can be very careful the way we answer. We don't want to have any opposition, so we dodge the real question, and we therefore answer it so that we hope there won't be any comeback. Well, these three men, what were they? Men that feared God. Men that worshipped God. Men who loved God. Men who desired to do the will of God. And therefore, they were able to come and say rightly, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. You see, we are not careful to answer this matter. They didn't know what the result was going to be. And in our lives, we may not know what the result is going to be. And yet, you see, they were willing to suffer for his sake. They were willing to do the will of God. They were not willing to bow down to this idol. Now, today you and I may not have to bow down to an idol like this, but there may be idols in your life which you're bowing down to. You know if you've got an idol in your life, and there you are, you're bowing down to it, and you shouldn't. You depart from it. Turn away from it. These men were blessed with a right desire to do the will of God, whatever the cost. Whatever the cost. Sometimes perhaps we stand back and we think, well, that the cost if I say this, or if I stand out, and it'll really be costly for me. What does that mean? It means you're denying the Lord. That's what it means. So do you want God to deny you when you come to stand before that judgment seat? Do you want the Lord to say, I never knew you, depart from me? And yet you see, sometimes we may be willing to deny the Lord. It's a very solemn and sad but true position. And left to ourselves, we will do just that. And we will need the grace of God to act in the way that these three men did. The Lord graciously has given us such an example to set before us. And it's not to just turn away from and think, well, that won't apply to me. It may. I don't know what's going to face you tomorrow. I don't know what's going to face you tomorrow. You may have a difficulty at work. You may have some opposition. People might speak against you. They may give you an ultimatum. What are you going to do? You're going to obey the word of God? Or are you going to bow down to the graven image? Well, here was these three men not careful to answer, and blessed confidence in their God. The Lord to them was a real God. All their hope was in him. If it be so, our God whom we serve. You see, they served the Lord and they were able to say so. So if you were faced with a situation, would you be able to say, our God whom we serve? Would it be evident you're serving the Lord today? Our God whom we serve. Blessed be God if you, by the grace of God, can say yes. The God whom I serve. It's an amazing privilege to be able to serve the Lord. See, really, you and I either serve God or we serve the devil. And the devil will make it as easy as he can for you. Yes, he'll give you every opportunity to turn away from the truth, to serve him. And my friends, we live in a very evil world. We live in a very materialistic world. And we need the grace of God to stand firm. And so these men were able to say, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And there's two statements then which follow. Firstly, we're told, they said, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. There was another occasion in the word of God in the life of David. When he was faced with a situation, remember, he was facing, or likely to face, Goliath, and he came before King Saul, and he was telling the king, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against it, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. That was the great thing. He was against the man who was defying the armies of the living God. And you and I may face that in our day, when those people who are defying Almighty God. Well, David said, and good words these are, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear." He already said that he'd done this, but now what happens? He gives God the glory. "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the bear, he will deliver me." Confidence in his God. "He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul and David go, and the Lord be with thee. Well, we know the result. We know how the Lord did gloriously uphold David, and he slew Goliath with that single stone. The Lord is able to do great things still today, my friends. Let us never think we worship or we have a little God, we have a great God. And so here was these three men speaking in this way and saying, who we serve is able to deliver us from the burning forest. And then they step up, as it were, and say, "And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King." But then they are submissive to God's will. They've said, "He can and he will, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now that was a very wonderful statement. We might say a very brave statement. And in fact, sometimes you and I may be surprised. The strength given us by God to be brave and to be strong in regards to the answers that we may give to ungodly people. We may fear the result. We may fear what they will say. We may fear what they may do. The word of God tells us, fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of God doesn't. The fear of man does. Never fear man, because God is over everyone. And God has the heart of everyone in his hand. And God can control men. Amazingly so. Amazingly so, how God can control men. Very seldom mention anything in my life, but just one little incident in my business life. I had an occasion once where a man came into my office, and I knew that he was going to try and come and to destroy the work which had been done and enable him to not pay any of the fees of the work that we'd done. And he came into my office and went to the boardroom, and he stood and he sat there and he talked for half an hour, and he could not get out. What did he come for? Talked about everything. Nothing substantial. The Lord shut his mouth. And he went away. Bless God. We have a great God who knows the hearts of all men. And so here we have this account, this confidence that these three men had, this willingness to suffer if it was God's will. Now then, what happened? They were cast into the burning fiery furnace. How were they to be delivered? Well, faith laughs at impossibilities and says, "It shall be done." The amazing truth was that God had been with them, and God was with them now here in a very glorious and special way. Because as we read on down this account, when the king, we're told he was astonished at what he saw. And he said, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now then, in the midst of this furnace, they had to go into the furnace, and as they were thrown into the furnace, then God came and was with them. They weren't hurt by it. Wasn't that amazing? Not hurt at all. Not even the smell of burning upon them. What was that? A complete deliverance. A complete deliverance. And what were they blessed with? In the midst of that burning fiery furnace, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. Now then, that's a wonderful and an amazing outcome. But my friends, what a blessing it is when the Lord comes to us in our great time of need. Naturally speaking, there was no possibility of deliverance. There they were, three ordinary human men, thrown into the burning fiery furnace, exceedingly hot, seven times hotter than it was normally made. But you see, God came and delivered them. And in delivering them, he granted them his presence. Now that's the wonderful favour of God, isn't it? And so today, you know, the Word of God tells us this, to covet earnestly the best gifts. And there is no greater gift than union and communion with Christ. You know, you don't find that if you're walking in the world. If you're enjoying the lust of the world, you won't enjoy the fellowship of God. But if you're walking in that right way, remember what the psalmist said, he led them forth by the right way, not the way that they liked, not the way they wanted, the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Well, you and I, my friends, are on a journey, and the great thing is that we're led in the right way. Not the easy way, the right way. That way where we are blessed with union and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, who knew well this way and knew the wonderful blessing of union with Christ, and knew, my friends, the great opposition that he had to face. You only have to read in the second epistle of Corinthians, the many times of opposition that the Apostle Paul had to face. But God was with him. And as we come down to the end of the first chapter in the Apostle's letter to the Corinthians, he tells us these things. And he says, "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Oh, how important that is today. We live in an alien, dark world. The Lord's people are the light of this world. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. These three men, they weren't terrified, were they? Because they had confidence in their God. The Apostle Paul had confidence in his God. And he says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Naturally speaking, we don't like suffering, do we? We don't like suffering. But the Word of God tells us, if we suffer with him, we should also reign with him. What does that infer? If we do not suffer, we shall not reign. Well, and so the apostle instructs us not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You may say, well, I don't seem to suffer very much. Well, it's probably because you don't acknowledge whose you are and whom you serve. It's probably because you haven't taken up your cross daily. It's because you're following your own path. You're pleasing yourself. You're not pleasing God. You and I only have one true master, and that's God. Are we obeying our heavenly master? Are we following his footsteps? What did the Lord Jesus do? He pleased not himself. He never pleased himself. What did he do? He did the will of his Father. Are you and I pleasing ourselves today? Or are we doing the will of our God? If we're doing the will of our God, what would be the outcome? Fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here were these three men, blessed with the presence of the Saviour with them in the burning fiery furnace. And that which no doubt they feared would come upon them and they would suffer greatly. No, they didn't. But they had to be cast into the furnace. They had to put their trust in God. They had to leave the issue with God. There weren't any conditions. They didn't say, well, I'll just suffer a bit. No. They were willing to die for their faith. And that's the reality, isn't it, of the Word of God. And there are people today in the world who are willing to suffer for their faith and to die for their faith. And that comes very close, doesn't it? If you and I were requested to die for our faith, how would we respond? Well, we pray God to give us grace to stand firm like these three men did and were wonderfully blessed when the Lord came himself. It's an amazing truth that Nebuchadnezzar told us here. They have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Of course, they were commanded to come out of the furnace. And what a deliverance it was. Their confidence in their God had been blessed for the honour and glory of God. And my friends, today, as God gives us that ability to cast all our care upon him, for he cares for you and me, for his people to go before us. And so, I know not what's before you. I know not what fears you may have. I know not what you are fearful of doing. But you see, here was the blessed answer, really. The outcome was known to God. And they were willing to do that which was right, even if it meant dying in the burning fiery furnace. Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image. Now, in these times, in times of suffering, when the Lord comes and draws near and shows to us something of the cost of our salvation, It puts our sufferings in a right place, in a right sequence. And we realise that the sufferings of the Saviour were far worse and far harsher than anything the Lord calls us to pass through. The Lord had agony of mind, agony of body. When we think he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet so great, so high, so mighty, willing to come and to suffer that you and I might live, that he might come and dwell with us in our difficulties, in our trials. The Lord Jesus said when he spoke to the disciples, and you can read of it in Matthew's Gospel, he says some very beautiful words to those who are heavy laden. And that's perhaps where you may be in the 11th chapter. And he speaks and encourages people to come to him. Those who are that labour and are heavy laden, perhaps burdened with sin, burdened with opposition, burdened with fears, burdened because of the difficulties which confront you, the difficult situation which is facing you. Don't try and carry out yourself. Hear the glorious words that the Lord tells us. Come unto me. Come unto me. Sadly, we often forget to come to the Lord. We struggle on. We battle on. We have the word of God to encourage us. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest in the midst of adversity. Rest in difficult situations. We're not told exactly how these men felt, but they were willing to suffer for the name of Christ, and the cost of doing so appeared to be potential death. And so the Lord says here, and I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. I hope most of you know what a yoke is. We don't see it very often now, but a yoke was used, of course, to keep two oxen together so that they weren't able to go apart. And when they ploughed or whatever instrument they were pulling, they were together. And here the Lord speaks like this. Oh, isn't it humbling to think, take my yoke, the Lord's yoke, upon you and learn of me. Because in that situation, we're yoked to Christ. We're close to Christ. We're not a long way off. You know, when the Apostle Peter fell so sadly, he was a long way off. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Blessed learning, blessed Saviour, blessed condition. And then he explains to us, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That means he comes where we are, where you are, where I am. He knows where you are. He knows your fears. Your fears perhaps of the unknown way. Your fears perhaps of the consequences of turning away from those things which confront you and standing firm for the things of God and taking up your cross. May be fearful. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Oh, my friends, how often we perhaps pray, hope you pray, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means taking his yoke and learning of him. You know, I trust we all want to learn more of Christ. Well, you won't do it if you're walking contrary to the Lord, if you're walking a long way away. But here we have this encouraging word that he's meek and lowly in heart. And what's the result? and ye shall find rest unto your souls. How is your soul tonight? Is it tossed up and down? Are you fearful? Are you worried? Hear such a word as this. The encouraging blessing is, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Rest is a very pleasant thing, isn't it, when we're weary. Naturally, rest is a very pleasant thing, isn't it? So it is to the restless soul. You may be restless because of sin, which has got hold of you. Well, come to the Lord. He tells us this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that wonderful to think? We have such a great and glorious Saviour who comes and tells us that. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, perhaps putting it into the current situation that you and I might be found in, we think of the life of Moses. We read of his life in the Hebrews, and what are we told? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And don't underestimate the cost it was for Moses, from those 40 years of comfort in the palace of Pharaoh to 40 years in the wilderness, backside of the desert, and then to lead Israel for 40 years. It wasn't an easy path, but God gave him grace to choose the right way. Well, may God give you and me grace to choose the right way and not choose the wrong way. And so these three men were wonderfully blessed with Christ with them. And what a mercy in our life if we are wonderfully blessed. If we do that which is right, if we do not listen to the devil, if we do not bow down to the graven image, the golden image, whatever that may be in your life and my life, there may be many images the devil sets up and says, you bow down to that, you do that, it'll be all right and it'll be good. And your conscience says no. You know that if you don't, it may cost a lot. It may cost you a job. It may cost you friends. But there is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. And that's the friend you and I need. The friend who will be with us throughout life. The friend that will be with us in glory. The friend who loved us so much, he laid down his life so that we might receive life. This is the Saviour. This is the one who came and was with these three men. My friends, how vital it is, how important it is that you and I enjoy the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's a glorious statement, isn't it? And that you and I were able to enter into it more and more, to live more unto his name. He's worthy. He's worthy of all our attention. He's worthy of all our life. Remember, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Bear that in mind. You're not your own. Don't try and please yourself. Desire to walk in accordance with the word of God. The price paid was the death of the Saviour. It's a price, my friend, you and I won't be able to repay. But may we desire to honour him. The word of God tells us, those that honour me, I will honour. and those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So all of us here tonight are one or the other. We're either honouring God or we're despising him. And you know in your heart which of the two you are. Blessed be God if you're found like these three men, honouring their God. Honouring their God. And a glorious outcome, a wonderful outcome. The Son of God came to them. No greater blessing. Whatever there is in your life and my life, if the Lord comes to us. Indeed, as we read in that 11th chapter of Matthew, where he encouraged us to come to him, there's that union. There's that union. We have a need. The Lord knows that need. He supplies that need. He draws us to himself. I often think of those glorious words in the Song of Solomon, where the bride of Christ says, "Draw me, we will run after thee." Now, if you and I know anything of the love of Christ to such unworthy sinners, you'll come and say, with a hymn writer, "On such love, my soul still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. Say, whilst lost in holy wonder, why, O God, such love to me." Yes, why? Because he loved us in all eternity. Because, as the Lord Jesus said when he spoke to his disciples in the upper room, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." Well, this, of course, is a well-known account. I expect you all are familiar with it. But ponder it, go home and meditate on it and see where you stand in accordance with it. If so be, having said, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If so be, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Well, may we each receive grace to walk in that right way, which will be for our eternal good and for the honour and glory of our God. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £800, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Richard Field is engaged to preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service, and we hope he'll be able to come if his wife is well enough to allow it. Let us close with hymn 19. "Behold the glories of the Lamb amidst his Father's throne. Prepare new honours for his name and songs before unknown." Hymn 19.
Behold the glories of the Lamb.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.